Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. The Lord is our light and our salvation.
Why should we be afraid?
The Lord is the stronghold of our life.
What have we to fear?
Let us shout with joy to God.
Let us sing and make music before our God.
I'm glad to see that none of you have blown away. And what a beautiful day to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Roswell.
If you will be thoughtful enough to take the attendance pad that is on the end of the pew and write your name in it, and pass it down the pew, and then pass it back, we will pick those up. Don't forget the prayer card that's in the pocket in front of you. You can fill those out and bring them forward during the prayer time or give them to an usher or put it in the collection plate.
And now let us proclaim our faith in God and Jesus Christ by joining together in our affirmation of faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the Holy Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
Please be seated. Let us pray. O God, our light, our salvation, shelter us in your love. O God, our stronghold, protect us from danger. We come with shouts of joy to worship you this day. We come with song and music to celebrate your love. We come with longing to seek your presence. Be with us now, O God, as we sing your praises. Amen. A reading from the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. The word of God for the people of God.
You have heard a lot about the Healthy Church Initiative that some of the leadership of this church and your pastors have been preparing for over the last few months. And this coming Saturday is the Saturday. And the one event that I hope that you will have on your calendars and will be sure and attend is a town hall type meeting and sort of a little mini workshop as a part of this. This is at 10 o'clock on Saturday in the Fellowship Hall. It's scheduled until 3, I believe. Don't know if it will really last that long. You will have lunch there in the middle someplace. Certainly doesn't cost anything, but we hope that everyone will come and participate in this. Just quickly, this is an opportunity. We have a team of about, 15 to 18 people that are coming in, pastors, lay leaders from around the conference, and they have done some preparation themselves, going over our records and information that we have sent them. And they are coming this weekend especially to listen to the congregation. They'll interview the pastors and some of the leadership separately, but this is your opportunity at 10 o'clock on Saturday to tell them what's on your mind concerning the church and especially towards the future of the church. So don't miss out on that. This is sort of a once in a every... lifetime kind of event. So we hope that you will be able to come. As we come to our time of joys and concerns, we're especially happy and proud at the wonderful job that the church did this last week in preparing for the not only the Penrod Toll service, which was on Friday, but the bishop's visit, which didn't actually happen. But once again, it was just a wonderful example of how the membership of the church and the staff came together to get the place spruced up and ready for something that really showed the church at its best. We have a number of concerns this morning. You may have heard already that Mrs. Nancy McDonald, who was a member of this church, but had been playing the organ and piano over at Trinity for the past few years, passed away on Friday, I believe. But her services are pending. They will be at Trinity and they will most likely be this coming Thursday. The time will be announced. Also, we keep the family, the Tolles family, Sally and the rest of the family in our prayers. Penrod passed away since we were all together. We keep Ken Primrose and Jean in our prayers. Lisa Richards, Jim McDivitt, are you here with us? Not Jim is not here today, but Jim is back, I understand, back to normal, but he was in the hospital. And we ask that you also pray especially for this coming HCI weekend. And at this time, we invite you to come forward during our hymn to bring your prayer cards, to kneel at the altar if you wish. Our hymn is, "You Are Mine, You May Remain Seated."
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. Father, as we come to
this time of communicating with you this morning, this time of prayer, there are so many faces and names that we have in our hearts, family members and friends, people in this church and people that we know about in this country and in this world that need your help. So many names are listed in our bulletin, and we know that's just a tiny fraction of those whose needs we hold in our hearts. And so we pass those names to you, Lord, knowing that there is not much that we can do, but that you can do everything, and that we ask you to be with those who need your help, as you always have been, but help us to realize and help our loved ones to know that you are working in their lives. Lord, we ask you to be with the family of Penrod Tolles, of Nancy McDonald, for those who are sick, for those who are stressed out at work and maybe struggling in their personal lives, with those who are living with family members who are difficult to live with, some who need constant care and constant patience, those who suffer from mental illness, for children, for parents, for husbands and wives, we ask you to grant us patience and give us strength, give us wisdom, and provide your love. We especially to ask that you be with our new president and those who are coming in to govern this country, that thy will be done, Lord, that we can continue and realize our place as the light of the world. These things we ask in the name of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering? And as they're coming along the line of stewardship, I just want to say that, you know, whenever we put the call out, especially if we're specific and can tie it to a need, that the response of this congregation is very, very great. And so let us thank each other and be proud of each other that we are a giving, loving congregation. Let us pray together. Lord, we ask you to accept our offering this morning and remind us to give to you in some way every day for the glory of your kingdom. Amen. We invite you now to turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ to one another, and the kids can come on up for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Good morning.
Peace be with you.
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 Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Peace be with you, everybody.
Peace be with you.
Peace and love and mercy and all of that. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning, all you guys today. How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, it looks like we got a fair number of boys today. How many of you are boys? Raise your hand. Okay, and how many of you are girls? Okay, well, that's good. Sometimes in churches, it's just the opposite. But this is a wonderful thing. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And you know, guess what? I'm standing up today, and you know what that means when I am standing up. It means we're going to do something a little bit different today. So we're going to wrap everybody in plastic. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, but we are going to do something a little bit different. Let me ask you this question, though. How many of you during our pass the peace time, how many of you went up to someone and said hello or said something? Okay. Yeah, okay. So what did you say? Luke, what did you say to someone?
Peace be with you.
Very good. Okay, did anybody say anything different? Are you Devin? Okay, Devin, what did you say?
May the joy be in your heart.
Very good. May the joy be in your heart.
Yeah. May the peace be with you.
Okay. Okay. Did anybody say, may the force be with you? maybe that's kind of outdated. We haven't been saying that for a while. We don't. Okay. What did you say? If you went up and talked to somebody during the passing of the peace, what did you say?
I paid in the nursery.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's it. All right. That's good. He said he was in the nursery. So, all right. Well, you know, now, did anybody not go up to someone and say something that wasn't in the nursery? Did someone not say something? Okay, let's do this. And just trust me here, this is not going to be embarrassing, but if you, now stand up, everybody stand up, and if you actually went up to a person and said something during the passing of the peace, stand on this side. And then if you didn't, come on this side. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. I thought there would be a lot more of you that didn't say something, but that's okay. This will work. So, because what we're talking about is that when we're trying to, you know, we use the word the love of Christ. You know, it just occurred to me that during our passing of the peace time, hey, JP, during the passing of our peace time, you know, that we... Maybe we ought to say, instead of saying, peace of the Lord be with you, we could say something like, the love of Christ be with you. Because that's what we're really trying to do, is pass the love of Christ, and we don't just do that during the service. We can do that all week long, but it kind of takes a little bit of effort. We're not real good about doing that. We have to be a little bit outgoing. So... if you said, peace of the Lord be with you, What else could you have said that beyond that? After you say, the peace of the Lord be with you, what else could you have said after that? Any ideas? To get to know the person a little bit better. Anybody have an idea?
I do.
Okay. Well, you were in the nursery, but tell me anyway. Okay. All right. All right. Well, that's okay. You can tell them that you were in the nursery. Yes, Devin.
What were we talking about?
Okay. All right. You know, that is a good thing to say. Because you could say, the peace of the Lord be with you, and then you could take a breath, and you could say, now what were we just talking about? And that would be a really good way to have a conversation. Now, for those of you who didn't say anything, it's a little bit harder. Maybe you didn't have an opportunity, or maybe you weren't standing next to anyone, but would it be hard for you to go up to a stranger, especially in church, in the same place, and speak to them if you didn't know them? Would that be kind of hard? Okay, would anybody like to volunteer to try that with me? Okay, come on, let's go. Let's go find a person who doesn't look scary. We may have to look for a while. Now pick out someone and let's go up to them and say something. Just pick someone. Okay, go to them. Okay, wait. We're going to do this. Okay, now say it again.
Let me peace be with you.
Very good. And shake hands. Then ask them if they put their check in the collection plate. Okay, I'm just kidding. Just kidding about that. Okay, good. All right, well, great. Now, that is a wonderful example of the way we have to live our lives, is that we have to step out of our comfort zone and actually reach out to people all week long when we see them, not just at church. But let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for these children who are the future of the church. We ask you to give them strength and wisdom and protect them, Lord, as they take over the leadership someday of this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, see y'all next time.
As we read a scripture from 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 10 through 18. And as you read these verses, pay attention to what you think Paul's tone of voice might be as if he were saying these words to the people that he's writing to. Now, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And would you pray with me, please? Lord God, I ask that this morning the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of value to your people. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. So Ole goes into work on a Monday morning, and both of his ears are bandaged up. And his boss says, "Ole, what happened to you?" And Ole said, "Well, yesterday I was ironing my clothes, and when the phone rang, I accidentally answered the iron." And this boss says, "Well, oh my goodness, that's terrible, but that only explains one ear. What happened to the other?" "Well, then I tried to call the doctor." Nobody likes to look a fool, right? Now, when we talk about this scripture from Corinthians, there are three things that I always notice about this particular scripture passage. The first thing that jumps out to me is there's a person named Crispus. Isn't that a great name? It sounds like something the Keebler elves would make, right? Oh, new Crispus, now available in garlic and onion and sea salt. But anyway, like you've never wondered about the names of people in the Bible. But the second thing that I always notice about this scripture is that the Apostle Paul can be a little bit snarky. I mean, really, there's obviously some trouble going on in this church in Corinth. Some people are arguing with each other. Some people are tattling on the ones that are arguing. But Paul addresses this not like he doesn't give some big fancy speech or use powerful metaphors to explain his position. He doesn't apply his outstanding conflict resolution skills. Instead, he just kind of blurts out, "Well, thank God I didn't baptize any of you, except the cracker named guy and Gaius, and oh yeah, Stephanus's family, I don't know, I can't remember who else I baptized." And that in itself endears Paul to me a little bit more, because I appreciate that he can't exactly remember what he's done. Isn't that a word of comfort that even Paul, this great apostle? But the third thing that I notice in this scripture, and what I want to focus on today, the third thing I notice are verses 17 and 18. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now let's just paraphrase that. Basically, Paul is saying, Jesus wants me to tell his story. And if I'm not perfect at doing that, it's okay. Because you know what? The people who don't believe, they're just not going to believe anyway. But for those of us who do believe, this is powerful, powerful stuff. Now, this is good news to me because it takes the pressure off. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life when I have not been the smartest person in the group. There have been plenty of times in my life when I have felt just a little bit inadequate. And I think probably most of us can point to some times when we have felt that way. Has anybody in here ever felt a little bit inadequate? Of course we have. And especially when it comes to matters of how to share our faith, When it comes to talking about our personal feelings and our thoughts about Jesus Christ, and we think about telling that to other people, none of us want to look foolish. None of us want to feel stupid when we're talking about Jesus. So it's easier to just kind of stay quiet, isn't it? And it's no wonder that many of us are kind of careful about what people hear us say or do. Some of us really don't want anybody else to hear us when we sing the hymns on Sunday morning. Amen? Some of us are very uncomfortable praying out loud in front of other people. Some of us are a little bit afraid to speak out in a Bible study, or maybe even afraid to go to a Bible study. My own mother did not want to attend an adult Sunday school class because she was afraid somebody would ask her a question and she wouldn't know what the answer was. It's the most natural thing in the world to feel like that. But according to Paul, we shouldn't worry about this. We don't have to be eloquent or pray with big flowery words. We don't have to know all the answers to the Bible stories. We don't have to already know this. What you and I say or do is not going to make God any less powerful. Amen? You and I are not going to hurt God or do something that he's going to be ashamed of us doing. The fact of the matter is that the people who think Christians are fools, they already think that. So don't worry. They already think you're a gooberhead. Don't worry about what they think. Because the more important part is that when you share your faith, you are the one who's going to experience the power of God. You know, we're still hearing stories of when we did the Shepherd's Run on Christmas Eve. We're still hearing stories about people's experiences from that night. Remember, we took the cookies after worship and took them out, delivered them to people in the community who were working on that Christmas Eve. One of our members actually had to work on Christmas Eve, and he got to the pizza place where he works, and they said, "Hey, somebody brought us a bunch of cookies." And he went back and he looked and saw the tag and said, "Oh yeah, that's my church." And we're just kind of like that. That's what we do. There was another family who were going to deliver their cookies, I understand, to someone in a grocery store, but when they pulled into the parking lot, there was a police car sitting there. So one of their boys hopped out of the car and went over and handed them through the window to the policeman. Then he went back to their car, but before they could pull out of the parking lot, that policeman was at the window of their car giving them a $50 gift card. How cool is that? It's one of those moments when you want the policeman to be looking in the window of your car, amen? There is nothing more powerful than when our simple Christ-like actions make a difference in the world. And folks, that can happen all the time if we can just get past worrying what other people are going to think of us. You know who are the very best people in the world at sharing their faith and talking about God in public? Our children. Our little kids. You know, on Wednesday nights when we have our fellowship meal and the room is full of people, our children have been volunteering, asking if they can say the prayer for our food. And let me tell you, when they stand up there and say that prayer, they do not use a big, giant vocabulary. And they aren't worried about what everybody's going to think about them. They're not trying to prove how smart they are or how much they know. They just tell God, "Thank you," using the simplest of words. And that moment of sincerity and honesty and real, true gratitude, that is one of the most powerful moments of my week. Now, no doubt that there are people in this world who may think that you and I are a little bit silly because not only do we believe all of this stuff about Jesus, but we actually try to be like Jesus. And if you have that feeling, I encourage you sometime maybe today or later on in this week, go to that first chapter of 1 Corinthians and read the rest of it. In fact, read the second chapter too, because Paul goes on to talk about this. He goes on to talk about what it is that the world thinks is wisdom and what the world thinks is foolishness, but the reality of what really is wisdom. And if you get through reading that and you're still feeling a little uncomfortable about all this, consider this quote from a very powerful modern American. God assumed from the beginning that the wise of the world would view Christians as fools, and he has not been disappointed. If I have brought any message today, it is this: have the courage to have your wisdom regarded as stupidity. Be fools for Christ, and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world. Does anybody recognize that quote? Do you know who said that? Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He was no fool. He was a very, very smart person. He said those words in 2012, and from this brilliant mind, there obviously had been those times even in his life when he had felt a little bit foolish. Never be afraid to put yourself out there for Jesus. And we happen to have some upcoming opportunities for you to do that right here at First United Methodist Church. Has anybody heard about this thing called the Healthy Church Initiative? Oh, if you haven't heard about that, you haven't been around. Well, as Pastor Laird said, it is coming up. And you need to know that your voice is critically important to this. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I haven't really been involved up until this time, or I don't really know enough about what's going on, or I'm a little bit too new, or nobody will want to hear what I think. If that's holding you back, just change your mind on that. Because there is nothing foolish about you. Or you. You are smart people. You are insightful. You have opinions. You have concerns. This is your church, and your input matters. We are so amazingly blessed to have a church that's filled with so many incredibly wonderful people. Thanks be to God that we do not have the problem that that church in Corinth was having when Paul wrote his letter. We do not have big quarrels and arguments going on. We don't have people running around tattletelling on people behind their backs. We don't have that issue. But also, thanks be to God, that we don't all exactly think the same way. And we don't all have the same opinions or the same viewpoints. That is a wonderful thing to thank God for. We need to have different points of view. We need to have different personality types among us. And the more that we're able to share what we think and feel, the more powerful the work of God is going to be among us. So participate in the Healthy Church Initiative Weekend. And if you're still struggling with those feelings of inadequacy, if you still find yourself thinking, I'm just not good enough, then I really encourage you to come to a new study that's going to be held on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. after that meal. It's going to be led by Jana Lassard, and it is called Uninvited. And it is a study for any human being who has ever in their life felt less than. If you have ever had a little self-doubt, or if you have ever had a moment where you felt kind of stupid, this Bible study is for you. I will tell you that I read through the first chapter of the workbook. I watched the first DVD video, and I just sat there and thought, oh my gosh, I really need to hear this. Because this is a study that will help you understand how God really sees you. And brothers and sisters, you are loved. Never doubt yourself. You are nobody's fool. So share your faith. Tell people about what Jesus is doing in your life. And do that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You will be blessed. Amen. As we conclude our service with our closing hymn, I encourage you to consider the call that God is placing upon you, maybe even right now. And if you haven't experienced that love of Jesus and you just want to open yourself up to him, come forward during the singing of our hymn, and we would love to walk with you as you deepen your journey in Christ and receive him as your Savior. If you have been looking for a church home that you've been wanting to be a part of, I'm telling you, this is the best church you're going to find. And if you would like to place your membership in this church, maybe you've been here for a long time, but you've just never actually joined the church, come up during the singing of this hymn, and we will welcome you into the family of Christ. Now let us stand and sing together. It is always important to recognize the miracles of God. I would like to point out it is 11:23. Now receive this blessing and benediction. Go forth. Be a fool for Jesus and know that that makes you the wisest of all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.